morning. Thanks for coming, everybody. Thank you. How you doing?
Now, this is a Comic-Con, and you're doing a comic.
That's right.
And the artist is here.
The artist?
Yeah.
The con artist.
The con artist.
The artist is here, yes.
And he's over there. His name is Jock. So give it up for Jock.
Jock.
Try not to be too disappointed that I'm the apparently world-famous Batman artist on this, by the way. I apologise in advance.
No, that was an amazing build-up, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, wow. I'm a huge fan of Jock. I'm sure he's got a lot of fans here as well. And the Black Mirror is one of my favourite Batmen.
Hey, we won an award for that last night as well.
Did you?
Best ongoing series.
Oh, that's wicked. Well,
so nearly famous Batman artist now.
But this comic you're working on together is called Nelson.
That's right, yeah.
I think we were talking before.
There's a picture.
And didn't you originally pitch this as a TV show?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I'll tell you a bit about how I... Because I came up with the original idea when... It was two things happened, actually. The first thing was I did this sketch on my show, my sketch show, where I played Darth Vader. He's a character from a film called Star Wars. Star Wars, and I heard this story. Can I just tell you this? I heard this story about, you know, the philosopher Alain de Botton.
Checks wiki.
A friend of mine speaking to him, and he said, Alain de Botton said, I don't let my kids watch television or things like that. He said, they came back from school the other day, they were talking about some science fiction film called Star Wars.
That's a real thing.
Star dot 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 wars question mark. I did this. Who doesn't know about Star Wars? I played Darth Vader in this sketch, and I'm 6'4", but I was wearing platform boots that I think the costume people got from Camden Town. They're the kind of goth ones, you know. They're give you like a 4-inch lift. So I was like 6'8", and I had shoulder pads on and this Darth Vader costume. And just in between takes, I took the helmet off and I was striding around, and I just felt fucking amazing. And I also was flanked by two stormtroopers wherever I went. It was just great, and I just thought, wow, this must be what it feels like to be a superhero, you know. And then another thing happened, which was I was watching, it was about the time that the Joseph Fritzl case happened. Why are people laughing? And
it was hilarious.
He was such a naughty man.
And I remember talking to my brother about it, you know, we said, look, do you think we should let those girls out of our basement? No. In all seriousness, we were talking about it, and we were saying, you know, what would you do if you came face to face with somebody who committed such horrific crimes against, you know, against kids and women? And it's pretty much, you know, that sort of level of crime is like pretty much it's kind of like the worst thing that you could possibly do, to be cruel to kids, to torture, to kill, to rape kids. Like, it's just the worst thing. Sounds like it's going to be a fun comic, doesn't it?
It is hilarious.
This idea came about. I wrote this script, which I took to FX and HBO about a guy who has from an early age, he's mutated and got these huge muscles. He's kind of like, I was talking to Jock about him, and he's kind of like got the build of the Hulk, but like, he's plausible, you know? He's huge, but he's like the credible Hulk. and his story is that he's got a, it's the comic is set in London in a sort of alternate, kind of like a Gotham City version of London, where he is the de facto, we looked this definition up earlier on.
Yeah, no,
I can't remember what he said. He's the de facto chief of police.
Oh, I love that man.
I suppose, what does that mean? It means like he's not like the official chief. He's like the sort of deputy chief of police, but he's actually runs the show in London. And he operates a zero tolerance policy towards crime. And London's got the lowest crime figures of any big city in the world. And everybody kind of loves him. And he's sort of got a bit of a celebrity status. And kids know who he is. He's sort of got a bit of David Beckham about him. He often walks around, patrols the streets of the city.
De facto.
In reality or fact? Yeah, that's right. So I guess he's like, in reality, he is the chief of police, although that's not his official title. He's like a kind of, I guess he's sort of like Batman, but he doesn't have a secret identity. Everybody knows who he is. Everyone loves it. Criminals are terrified to commit crimes. And in particular, it's this thing of crimes against children, because his twin brother, when he was 13, his twin brother, who was kind of like the runt twin. He was like this big sort of fat kid, and his little twin brother's like a sort of Tiny Tim guy. Gets abducted and killed by these awful child killers. So in his later life, when he becomes involved with the police, that's the thing he cannot bear at all, crimes against children. He's really popular with children as well. Like older members of the audience would remember Dave Prowse being the Green Cross Code man. That's something as well that he does. Which, by the way, where do kids learn about crossing the road now? Because we used to have that in our day. Mm.
There's a
little
like a hedgehog animation.
A hedgehog? That sounds
good. No, there's Tufty. The Tufty Club.
The Tufty Club, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Well, I mean, I'm not that old, but yeah. I mean, the story opens with him rescuing a girl from somebody who's abducted her. And the thing is, Nelson as well. Oh, he's also addicted to drugs and he's an alcoholic. He's in constant pain because of his gigantic muscles, so he just takes painkillers and drinks vodka, and he's like anti-drug, but totally on drugs all the time. He does things like, he does all the things that you suspect the government of doing all the time. Like he illegally watches what everybody is doing on the internet and listens into phone calls. But because he's so successful, because everybody loves him and everybody loves the way the city is, no one can really stop him. And also, built like the Hulk. You know? He's like good Godzilla, you know. But at the start of the story, he rescues this girl from this paedophile, and when he rescues her, he says to her, "Do you want me to kill him?" And she says, "Yeah." And then he basically kills this guy before her eyes, this like 12-year-old girl. She's basically commanded him to kill her abductor. And the SWAT team, the regular police, come in and stop him just short of killing this guy. He's basically almost dead. In the press conference, they say a washing machine fell on top of him. That's the only thing they could think of that would make these injuries plausible. And then this investigation is started by this journalist has been investigating him because throughout the last 10, 15 years, there have been a number of child killers and paedophiles, etc., who have been mysteriously killed or disappeared. And what the journalist thinks is that he's totally taking the law into his own hands and is killing these people. Because that's what justice is. In his eyes, that's what justice is. And so I suppose that's what the theme of the comic is. It's the rage that you would feel as a parent when you see somebody who could harm kids. Because I'm a parent, I have two small kids, I'm sure many people here are parents. So he's like the embodiment of that. It's like, what would you do if you had the power to do whatever you wanted to, you know, say Rose West or Ian Brady or somebody like that. If you could do anything you wanted to them with impunity, is that what it is? With impunity. Sorry, I've got the flu. What would you do? What would you do? Later, quite early on, he admits on television, this newspaper's mounting a campaign saying that he's taken the law into his own hands and that he's killed these people. And he goes on TV and is interviewed about it. And quite early on he says, do you know what, actually, I did kill all those people, all those 8 child killers, those paedophiles. I did kill them, and the world's a better place, and this city is a better place. What would you do in my situation when confronted with them? And then the next day, practically everybody in the country, he's hailed as an even more superhero than before. But then it starts to get a bit complicated. but that's basically what it is. I mean, I know it doesn't. I come from quite a comedy background, and this is, I guess, I was saying to you before, I sort of felt like I wanted to do a kind of a new spin on a superhero story, or what I thought was a new one. And I thought, if I tell people today, somebody's going to say, oh yeah, that's just like, when I took it to FX, somebody told me about Hancock, the film Hancock, which I then saw, and I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of similar to this, but it's actually, I don't know, it's a bit similar, but mine's better.
So, John, how did you get involved then?
I met Pete on a radio show up in London. We did Orange, the phone company, were doing these promotions for movies, and The Losers, one of the comics that I'd done a few years ago, was made into a movie a couple of years ago, and you kind of download it for free, and they were doing these kind of weekly radio shows, and Chris at Empire Magazine sort of asked me and Andy, who we know, asked me and Andy to go up, and Peter was hosting, and got chatting. I mean, I'm a big fan of Peter's anyway, as I'm sure everyone is. And he just told me about this idea, and he said, well, I'll send you a script and see what you think, and, you know, and let me know. And I just immediately liked the idea. Because one thing as well, like, this guy, he hasn't got superpowers, but he can fly, for example. He's got, like, this suit, you know, but it's not... What I like about it is a very British kind of spin on this stuff as well. You know, he's kind of there's a tabloid culture and he's got kind of adverts plastered all over him, and you know, you can basically see him kind of spilling out of kind of Lily White's and in Heat magazine as well as kind of taking care of this kind of the law. So I don't know. I love the idea of him being so big. You know, this kind of Pete told me about this, the Darth Vader thing, and this huge guy, and I don't know. You know, the little kind of seeds that just kind of I responded to, and you know, we said so. Let's do it. And so,
how have you drawn him? Is he like a plain big,
It's so early on that we're still kind of we've got some images and we're playing around with ideas, but.
He's in the realm of plausibility.
I remember one time you said it, like the suit, he's kind of like Iron Man's, but a bit shit, kind of thing,
Yes, and, he has to charge it up with like,
a plug.
With a plug. So it flies, but he complains of feeling like a fridge, He's just going to plug himself in and charges up for like half an hour before he can fly.
We had the idea that maybe he's like almost like a Formula One driver, like plastered with brands and stuff. We're still working at it.
It's called Nelson, by the way.
It's called Nelson. Oh, fucking hell! Someone's graffiti on it. Oh shit!
Okay, does anybody else
want to
ask a question? We've got a microphone.
Anybody got any questions?
If the comic book does have success and say BBC came calling or said we'll make it a miniseries, would you still want to make it for television?
Yeah, I guess. But I suppose of course, I'd love to, but I think what we want to do is just make an amazing comic book. Really, we're not sort of looking past that at the moment.
The thing is, you can't plan for that stuff. As far as I'm concerned, you have to make brilliant comics, and often you can do things in comics that you can't do on a TV show or a movie or whatever, which is why sometimes the adaptations don't work so well. And there's something about Nelson that I think is going to make a really great comic. That then we'll see, I guess.
Is there an ETA on it? When can we see it?
Kind of maybe 2019, is that the name? I'm doing a story with Andy Diggle again at the moment. I finished that in like September, and that's when I'm going to start full time on it, so maybe the end of the year.
Will Butterfield be making a cameo in the comic?
It's really the tone of it is so that's a thing to try and that's going to be tricky to get right because it's such a serious topic. I mean that's a funny question. And by the way, I'd love to do Butterfield as a comic. That's not a thing that I'd really love to do. But that thing of there's kind of black humour in this thing, but it's important not to trivialise the subject. I guess it's putting that a very real, terrifying crime. Putting that in a sort of superhero world, it's something tonally that we've got to be very kind of very careful about. At the same time, you don't want it to be like really super depressing and it's got to be kind of entertaining. But
is Pirate Wogan? Is he's in it though? Right?
He's in Pirate Wogan, yeah. Isn't it? Yes. Good.
I mean, that's why I signed on.
But I mean, I guess, I suppose it's like the sort of point of it in a way as well, is to have something, to have like baddies in it that are really truly fucking awful, and getting away from a, like a kind of Lex Luthor planning to blow up the planet or whatever, those kind of huge big superhero things. It's like, it's actually quite a small but very serious and very, I don't know, still kind of working out, but it will be a little bit funny as well. It's like, I don't know if any of you saw this thing about Fred West and Rose West that was on ITV.
The Dominic West
thing. And I watched that. Did you see that?
I've not seen it.
It was a drama about what happened once he'd been arrested, and Fred West's dialogue was taken from actual transcripts of his interviews, and for me, I thought everybody did a great job in it, like performance wise. But for me, I felt it kind of sometimes felt like it was. I felt like I was watching entertainment at the expense of all these people who've been killed, and I felt like sometimes it was in danger of trivializing the subject, which is a serious subject, you know. So that's something that we're gonna have to rambling now. Flu. Rambling. Sorry, can I have another question? Hey. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Bon 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 bons. Wonderful. Oh, they are as well. Great. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
Football basketball.
Didn't I read that you were doing a movie or something like that?
Yeah. For about a year now, we've been developing this Brian Butterfield movie. That's, I guess, kind of like it's with him as a detective. And, I suppose what we want to do with the Brian Butterfield movie is, I grew up watching the Peter Sellers, the Pink Panther films, and they were the, like the high point of my career when one of those was on the TV. It's trying to sort of capture that kind of fun in a film, you know. That's sort of what we're aiming for. So we're still writing. That's me and my brother James, and this guy Andrew Ellard is writing it with us. Andrew works, does a lot of stuff with Red Dwarf
and the IT
crowd. Yeah, he's brilliant. But yeah, but that's going really well, and it's fun, and it's laugh, and it's pretty good. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Is there a publisher for the comic at the moment, or is it sort of something you're doing on spec at the moment?
It's we're talking to a few different people, but we haven't landed on one particular publisher yet. Hello. Look, just text me.
Sorry, any particular comics or whatever? Sorry, directly inspiring this, you know, any particular points of inspiration for it?
I don't know, really. I love Batman, you know, I love Batman, I love the Hulk as well, and I love the idea of somebody like the Hulk, but who's intelligent. He's like an intelligent thug, you know. I love Superman. It's what I grew up with. And yeah, so I guess I've also been reading, you know, I was saying before, I loved Jock's Black Mirror Batman. That's just fantastic. Who else do I like? I love the Sean Phillips and Brubaker's Criminal comics. I love them. I've been reading Irredeemable as well. I love that. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Irredeemable, but have you read that?
No, I thought I love it. Only bits. I've got to pick it up.
It's pretty great. What I love about it is it sort of introduces this whole sort of spectrum of superheroes in like about four pages, and so I mean, know who everybody is, and it's really great storytelling. I loved as well I love Red Son, Mark Millar's thing. The Superman born in Russia is just unbelievable. So yeah, I suppose in terms of superhero stuff, it's pretty much kind of classic archetypal ones for me.
Yeah, I guess for me, kind of tonally, I don't know, I was thinking about this the other day. Did anyone read like Deadline in the early 90s, you know, when he had sort of like just really like super cool British comics that only kind of Brits could do? And Peter's story to me had that kind of a, yeah, there's something unique about it kind of thing. So, you know, I mean, we're not looking at other comics and saying, oh, let's do it a bit like this. You know, it's hopefully its own thing, and it'll hopefully stand up as it's, you know, hopefully maybe in a couple of years people will be saying, yeah, we're trying to do a comic a bit like Nelson, you know.
So yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
You know, it's hopefully unique, so nothing particular for me as a direct influence, I guess.
Was it the darkness of it, do you think? One of the reasons why FX and Showtime or whatever like didn't bite?
I think it's mainly because it was a superhero thing, and it's just quite expensive to do, and to do realistically, you know. I mean, even like getting, you know, because in the show I wanted to play him as well, you know, and I was thinking like I'd have a big, like one of those Batman molded bodysuit things, but like looking more like a He-Man figure, you know. So something like that would in itself just cost a load of money to do. I think it's. I also had a tube train being derailed.
That's easy to film.
but
we can do that in the comics,
yeah,
no problem
at
all.
That's the beauty of it. And also, just talking about comics in general, the thing that's really reignited my passion for comics is reading them on the iPad. Mm. And I just bought one of the new iPads with the Retina display, and that thing is just. It's just amazing for reading comics on. And I mean, you know, it's quite a sort of luxury item at the moment. It's like 500 quid or whatever. But in 3 years' time, you'll be able to get one that's like paper thin. You'll be able to fold up and read and
throw
and
away.
Just,
buy a new
and
one.
Throw away. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's really incredible times that we're living in. You know. But I love that. An art form like comic books, which is so analog and so, you know, pen and paper, it thrives through this digital medium. Yes, did anybody have anything else?
You said you'd like to play him in the TV version of Piano Got It Done. Are you going to have Jock do the character as a portrait of yourself?
One of my first sketches, it did look a bit like Peter, and of course the danger is then it's a bit of a vanity project.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure. I said it to Peter. I was like, right, is this guy just should I just do it as him? You know, like, is this what he wants really? Something, you know. But sure enough, the first thing he said was, no, this isn't a vanity, you know, project. So
yeah.
So it's the character, like, so he's the one I'm drawing now is 6'4", he's got some darkish hair, he's kind of wearing a Star Wars t-shirt, doesn't have anything on him at all.
yeah, Anybody else? Yes, he does have a couple of love interests. He's got an ex-wife that he's always trying to get back with. He's got early on he's dating this girl who is from like a reality TV show. He's this sort of star fucker girl who we later find out he's actually 16 and not 20 as he thought. So which sort of complicates everything. And he also, the journalist who is trying to bring this case against him, that he's been killing off all these people, they kind of have a thing as well. So there's a kind of love dodecahedron coming up.
That's why I think that's a wrap. So give it up for Peter Serafinovich and John.
Thank you very much.